Good morning, everyone. Today's talk is another in the series for Mauritius. As we mentioned, we're developing a series of 12 talks for use in Mauritius in two ways. One is at the first Sunday of the month, Homa, there at the spiritual park. They have around 300 or 400 people coming every month. Part of it is to give a talk in Creole, so to use there. And then secondly, Dr. Pillai of Vanakkam, which is a religious monthly newspaper, has offered to give us a full page, which is very generous of him. So this is part of the page, and we'll go out to some 5,000 circulation there and get distributed in that way as well. So this one is a talk we've given a number of times. Learning from our mistakes. Since September 11th, there have been increased statements by Western leaders condemning some men as being evil and extolling others as being good. This, of course, is not the Hindu perspective. But since we hear these statements so often, it is good to take time to reflect on the Hindu point of view regarding good and evil, to make sure our and our children's thinking on the matter remains uninfluenced by Western philosophical thought regarding the nature of man. The Hindu viewpoint is that all of mankind is good, as we are all divine beings, souls created by God. In fact, we are all one family, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. The whole world is one family. Each soul is emanated from God as a spark from a fire and begins a spiritual journey which eventually leads back to God. All human beings are on this journey, whether they realize it or not, and of course, the journey spans many lives. If all are on the same journey, why then is there such a disparity between men? Clearly, some act like saints, and others act like sinners. Some take delight in helping their fellow man, while others take delight in harming him. The Hindu explanation is that each of us started the journey at a different time, and thus if some are at the beginning of the spiritual path and are young souls, while others are near the end and are old souls. Our Paramaguru, Jnanaguru Siva Yoga Swami, in speaking to his devotees, would describe life as a school, with some in the MA class and others in kindergarten, and that he gave to each according to his advancement. Man's nature, as we know, can be described as threefold: spiritual, intellectual, and instinctive. It is the instinctive nature, the animal-like nature, which contains the tendencies to harm others. Men who are expressing these tendencies are young souls who need to learn to harness this force. Thus, the Hindu approach to such a man is not to label him evil, but rather to focus on helping him learn to control these instincts and improve his behavior. Gurudeva describes this in an insightful way. People act in evil ways who are not yet in touch with their soul nature and live totally in the outer, instinctive nature. What the ignorant see as evil, the enlightened see as the actions of low-minded and immature individuals. End of quote. Important insights into the soul's maturing process can be gained by looking at the three Shaktis of God Shiva, Ichha, the power of desire, Kriya, the power of action, and Jnana, the power of wisdom, which are also the three powers of the soul. We first have a desire. When the desire becomes strong enough, we act. In young souls, the action may be ill-conceived and adharmic. For example, we want a computer, so we simply steal one. Money is needed, so we rob a bank. The soul is repeating a cycle of similar experiences, moving back and forth from desire to action, desire to action. In the case of the adharmic action of stealing, eventually the soul will learn the lesson that it is not the best course of action to take to acquire possessions. This learning is the Jnana Shakti, wisdom coming in and causing one's behavior to improve. This process also works for dharmic actions as well. We are helping out as a volunteer at the temple and teaching children's classes once a month. We like the feeling it gives us of helping others in a meaningful way and decide to help out every week. Therefore, the Jnana is to decide to do even more of it and thus feel more joyful. We have again improved our behavior. For all of mankind, no matter where one is on the spiritual path, spiritual advancement comes from improving one's behavior. Said another way, it comes from learning from one's mistakes. Unfortunately, this process is often inhibited by the idea that somehow we are not supposed to make mistakes. We grow up being scolded by our mistakes by our parents. We grow up being scolded for our mistakes by our parents. Some teachers ridicule students when they make mistakes. No wonder many adults feel terrible when they make a mistake. Therefore, to spiritually benefit our mistakes, we need a new attitude toward them. Gurudeva described mistakes as wonderful opportunities to learn. Those who are parents can teach their children that making mistakes is not bad. It is natural and simply shows we do not understand something. Mistakes are wonderful opportunities to learn. The story I give to try and impress the point is of a young family. The wife is at home taking care of the 5-year-old, and the 5-year-old makes some horrendous mistake and almost burns down the house. So the wife calls her husband and says, "You will be so happy to hear this news. Our son almost burned the house down. Isn't this wonderful? He is such a great opportunity to learn such an important lesson. And I wanted you to think about it on your way home. What lesson do we need to teach him so he does not make this mistake again?" Of course, you all get the point, which is that unfortunately most parents don't think this way. Usually, it is just a question of punishment. But punishment misses the point if it does not go along with the teaching so that you are helping the child learn how not to repeat the mistake. Quite often, punishment is all that happens. But the important point is the child does not know something. Otherwise, he never would have made the mistake in the first place. There is some knowledge the child is missing, and the parents need to figure out what that knowledge is. It is fine to punish the child in a reasonable way, but it has to be done without emotion and coupled with trying to help the child not repeat the mistake through figuring out what the child needs to learn. Of course, whose responsibility is it to teach the child? It is the parent's responsibility. The child made a mistake because the parents didn't teach the child about something. That is the point. Moving on, we have four reactions to making a mistake. A common first reaction to having made a mistake is to become upset that we made the mistake. get emotional about it, or if it is a serious mistake, to become quite burdened and even depressed. That is a natural first reaction, but if it is our only reaction, it is not enough. We need to deal with the emotional reaction through the action and move on to the learning stage. Thus, a good second reaction to a mistake is to think clearly about what happened and why the mistake occurred and find a way to not repeat the mistake in the future. Perhaps we were not being careful enough, and resolving to be more careful next time will prevent the problem from reoccurring. Perhaps we did not know something, and now we have that knowledge and can simply resolve to use that knowledge next time. Perhaps we created unintended consequences that caused significant problems to us or others. Now that we are aware of the consequences, we certainly won't repeat the action. Those who are striving to live a spiritual life are self-reflective and learn quickly from their mistakes. In fact, one way to tell a young soul from an old soul is to observe how quickly he learns not to repeat the same mistake. Quite often I get an email in from someone who made a mistake and they are saying, "Oh, I should not have done this. Of course, this is just getting stuck at the first level of the action. I should have not done this, I am sorry." But I encourage them to move on to the second level, and instead of saying, "I should not have done this," to say, "I should not do it again." That is the point we are striving for, not to simply feel sorry that we made a mistake, but to commit to not making it again, or at least trying not to make it again. Taking that step is being self-reflective, and it is how we progress on the spiritual path, because the spiritual path is a series of experiences, and sometimes those experiences involve making mistakes. If we can learn from those mistakes, and we learn to not make them again, then we progress. If we are constantly making the same mistakes over and over and over again, we are not progressing. So there is nothing wrong with making the mistake. We don't want to simply say, "I should not have made the mistake." We want to move on to the point where we say, "I should not make the same mistake again." A third reaction to having made a mistake may be needed if the mistake involved other people. Perhaps we have hurt their feelings or created a strain between us. A direct apology can fix this if we know the other person well. However, in many situations, we are not close enough to the individual to be able to apologize. In that case, a generous act toward the person can adjust the flow of feelings back into a harmonious condition. For example, hold a small dinner party and include them among the guests. A fourth reaction may be needed if the mistake is a major misdeed. For example, if we did something that was dishonest. In this case, even though we have resolved to not repeat the misdeed, apologize to those involved, we may well still feel bad about having done it. In this case, we need to perform some form of penance, prayaschitta, to rid ourselves of the sense of feeling bad about ourselves. Typical forms of penance are to fast, perform 108 prostrations before the deity, or walking prostrations up a sacred path or around a temple. In conclusion, whether a man's actions are evil or good, he is a divine being, a soul created by God. Let the focus not be on categorizing men as good or evil, but on encouraging all to improve their behavior. Learn from their mistakes and move forward on the spiritual path that returns us to God. And each of these talks gives something to do at the end. Supposed to go home from the spiritual park, do something that week. So This week, look for one significant mistake you made in the last few years that you have not yet thought about how to avoid repeating. Through applying new knowledge or new understanding, or identifying unintentional consequences that were created, figure out how you can avoid making the same mistake again. Thank you.